Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know what to say about that, to be honest with you. I just don't know how real it is or isn't. And I don't know how interested he is or isn't in going to the NFL. I think it's a lot of noise more than it is anything else. I don't know of it to be true. So that's what I got there.
This is WEEI.
That might be one of my favorite Adam Schefter answers of all time. Yeah. For a lot of reasons. First of all, I felt like I kind of caught him off guard, stumped him, which rarely ever happens. Then he was tiptoeing through, it's kind of BS. I don't even really know what to make of it. And then he ended with a little chuckle at his own answer.
Well, listen, Andy, his very first word to that question wasn't not even a word.
Oh, yeah. So he started and ended with like a huh.
Because he's thinking what we're all thinking is
BS. Really,
this like name your source or name the teams or. Like it's just a very he's not going to say the reporter by name. It's Josina Anderson,
right?
But excuse me, that's the Exhibit News Network's Josina Anderson. By the way,
put respect on that name.
Have we done any research on that? Does it have a website? Does it like the Exhibit News Network? Is there? Can I find it on like satellite providers or YouTube?
I reached out to them. So we'll
you did.
See. I did.
And
I
what did they get back to you?
No, we're still waiting. Still ENN. Waiting.
Did the email bounce back? Do they even have a server that accepts emails, or did it go to an AOL? That was Adam Schefter's answer on Bill Belichick and having opportunities in the NFL. Josina Anderson, as Ted referenced in his three-point stance, has reported there are two teams interested, could be a third. Right now, there's only two teams with open head coaching jobs. That's Tennessee and the New York Giants, who you'll see at Gillette Stadium on Monday night. What that third team would be, I don't know. All this respect about Bill Belichick still with the owners in the league. There's just a lot going on. But that's all the coaching level stuff with Bill Belichick. We kind of dove into that a little bit yesterday. Him getting pantsed by Duke, losing yet again. Billy did not beat Duke. He lost to Duke. And then these opportunities that may or may not exist, according to Adam Schefter. But, Ted, we need to get into the more salacious soap opera stuff going on around Bill Belichick. So this story came out over the weekend. New York Post. Bill Belichick's daughter-in-law unleashed a nearly hour-long profanity-laced tirade on Jordan Hudson following a University of North Carolina football game earlier this month. The Post can exclusively report. So the Post has exclusive sources that say Jen Belichick's outburst, which occurred on November 8th, included digs at Hudson's fashion choices, her body, and her relationship with Bill, all as the UNC head coach stood just feet away. The incident went down inside the 73-year-old's office at Keenan Memorial Stadium in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, just after the Tar Heels beat Stanford 20-15, which is interesting. It's after a rare victory this season. Wasn't after a loss that Jen Belichick went off. Jen screamed, "All Jordan, quote, does is control S blank blank," the word that Brian Hoyer thinks you can use on the radio that I can't, before she called Bill's significant other the bat bleep crazy At one point, sources said Jen told the room, which included Jen's husband, UNC defensive coordinator Steve Belichick, Bill Hudson, and multiple others, that she didn't care if her eruption resulted in Steve's termination or Bill disowning her. So basically, she reached her breaking point. Right? Like, that's, well, I don't care if you disown me, fire my husband, I've snapped.
But it's also interesting that she would even go there to fire. Like, she knows that he's as ruthless as he'd fire his own son.
His own kid.
But what's the salvo that is the one where she basically puts the ultimatum on Bill to do what?
In this, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll go on.
Keep
going. Jen yelled that Jordan was effing twisting Bill's brain before she urged the six-time Super Bowl champion to wake up. Sources said she went on to issue an ultimatum to Bill.
Oh, go. Okay. Can we stop?
Yep, of course. Now I know how the audio feels.
Go back, read the beginning.
Before she urged the six-time Super Bowl champion to wake up, quote, unquote.
Twisting.
Sources said she, twisting. Jen yelled that Jordan was effing twisting Bill's brain.
So, a lot of people have thought that she's controlling, you know, Bill. And I've always said, no, it's Bill's the one, you know, that's, now Bill's allowing her. But it also gives credence to what you guys have been saying, which is she's controlling him, which she is. But then I would contend he's letting her. So she's basically giving credence to the fact that she sees it the same way you guys do. That she is pulling his strings.
And that's not his strings.
And not the only thing she's pulling.
But that is, she's closer. Like, I'm just observing from afar. She's observing from, you know, the dinner table, her husband, the practice field, the games. But she did go on to issue an ultimatum to Bill, quote, you choose your family or you choose Hudson.
Wow.
So she's saying, like, it's time.
Yeah.
And
good on her, man.
It is. And I give her credit because it's easy for us to say that. We're not saying, hey, Steve, walk away from a good job. Hey, Steve, walk away from an inheritance of, I don't know what the inheritance is, $50 million, $100 million that could be divvied up between the two boys and the sister, right? There's a lot of money on the table that she's basically saying, Steve, you might have to walk away from the money. I hope you really love me because we might not have that inheritance you were counting on. But she reached her breaking point, right? She's seen enough. She's had enough.
How about that? That she's gotten to a point where she's willing to risk basically giving up, you know, all that cheddar.
And my favorite part, Fitzy, was the kind of drop the mic, walk away quote. You also need to eat a burger. So
she called her out for her outfits.
Yes.
I mean, that's embarrassing.
Like, yes.
24 years old is one thing, but flaunting, walking around in the snakeskin Carolina colored pants is, don't you think, Fitzy? I don't know. It's just a bad look. I mean, we got into it over the summer where I was like, it was inappropriate to see her, you know, kissing him on the practice field.
Well, no, we kind of got into it for the same kind of thing. Was when she first was on that sideline. Remember, she had like a kind of dress-looking skirt, UNC. But it's kind of the same thing you're saying. But I don't know, to pick on the girl for what she wears, like, I don't know. Like,
it's, you wear what you want, but not on the football field, in the practice field. It was a practice field where she was helping him with his headset.
Yes.
And you were like, oh, that's normal. She's wearing boots and a short skirt. And I'm like, no, that's not what you see ever.
I mean, when I was younger, those boots were called bleep me boots. Like, they had a con. And I'm not probably supposed to say that, but I'll tell you what people said. In the world of men, those had a connotation.
Yeah, but some girls rock those boots. Some girls can't rock those boots and are jealous of the girls who can rock those boots.
Oh, are you calling out, Jen?
Where are you going to rock those boots, though? You don't rock them on the sideline before a football game with one of the most high-profile coaches in any professional sport in America.
Right, you rock them at a club when you're out with the friends. Right, Fitzy. Like, no, you know, read the room.
Tacky. Room. It's okay. It's okay to say she's super tacky, and that carries over and puts a bad look on a guy who's one of the most scrutinized figures in American professional sports. Like, it all just looks terrible.
Tacky's,
and this has been
word.
Coming to
a,
this has been, she's so not 10-2. She's so 6-7. This has been coming to a head. This has been coming to a boil for months now. There have been stories, you know, there have been Instagram stories that have been shared. There have been rumors that Jen Belichick and others in the family are disgusted with her and that they're unhappy with how it's taking away his attention and making him look bad. And they all relocated from Washington, where they were perfectly happy on Jed Fish's staff, down to North Carolina. And look, I mean, if we think it's a clown show, don't you think the people on the inner circle feel it's the same show?
She's telling you with this report, basically she's telling all of us She probably did it loud enough so that everybody could hear.
Well,
it was that, because Jen has done, she liked an Instagram post she in dabbles. The past where suggesting that she was not happy with her, and you had to read between the lines like what we did. So there has been some evidence in the past that she was not happy with Jordan Hudson.
Correct, and which is understandable. The thing that I thought of, I had Mike Vrabel in my head saying rats, and I'm thinking, this happened in his office with a finite number of people, right? There's only X so Bill reads this, doesn't he start to say who's the rat, who's in the room? And then I just wondered, is it just her? Did she just tell the New York Post I went off, and here's what I said?
But everybody's been talking.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes. Everybody who's been telling Pablo Torre acts like he's got 20, sources within the UNC football program that talk to him.
But it's one thing when it's within the program. It's another thing. This tells you the date, the time, and the location. Like, if Bill's mind is still working, I'm thinking, wait, who was in my office after the Stanford game?
You don't have to be
game?
In the office to hear her screaming.
No,
you can
that's
be
true.
Outside of the office and still hear. I mean, she was yelling so everyone outside the office could hear it. So that this made the paper is my point.
Yeah, I had my mind was on the movie Falling Down. She had her Falling Down moment with Michael when he snaps. Like, he's just, the flies are buzzing, and she'd had enough.
Let me tell you something. Somebody that was in the office would not say all this because it would be obvious that Bill would know who it was.
Yeah.
So they're not in the office, but she was yelling loud enough so that people outside of the office could hear her.
But this is not all the drama, Fitzy. Mm-hmm. This is just a portion.
But wait.
There's more. Yes, a good infomercial from the 90s. I'll throw in a Mark McGuire rookie card as well.
Yes, that's true.
So Jordan Hudson replied to a Pablo Torre post on IG simply with, P.S., I'm suing you at Pablo Torre. And this has been going back and forth. Pablo Torre, and I'm not going to read everything. He's been posting basically receipts he has for some of the information he had during podcasts and different things. She's been questioning certain things. Some of it was her birth date. Remember, the report was that she filled out a form telling them her birth date. And she's like, I never did. And he's like, well, that's funny. What's this? And he's sending like DMs. He has like literally receipts.
Well, he tried to say she Photoshopped something. And then she clapped back with, her DMs kind of proving that she didn't.
Yeah.
Photoshop
and we'll
it.
See.
And
what
then
she
he
proved.
Actually had some he had a Photoshop expert go over it and reveal that there were discolorations and adjustments made, so much so that if you go to Grok and ask the Twitter verification Elon Musk AI, it says these posts have been altered.
And then he sent a letter to the UNC athletic office asking if they were basically going to be a part of this lawsuit, akin to this lawsuit. So this is really escalating. I will tell you, I hope this actually becomes a lawsuit and there's actually lawyers and discovery involved.
Oh, imagine discovery. Oh. Imagine all the stuff that we'd get unearthed. That would be unreal. And by the way, UNC responded back and said something to the effect of, are you kidding me? Of course we're not involved in this lawsuit.
Right.
That was kind of, if you want to like spark notes, summarize the email that he got back.
Correct.
That's what they said.
When does UNC step in again for the 900th time and just say like, Bill, like you got like either stop this or we're going to have it's going to be worth the $20 million just to get you and Diana Von Headache, Princess Sparkle Pants out of here. Like it's so embarrassing.
So they're not going to the bowl game. We got one game left. Is he fired within the next 2 weeks?
No, he will not be fired. There will be some.
Wow.
There will be some parting of the ways that does not include firing.
Okay, all right. Will he,
so he's,
will
but you're he saying he's one
coach,
and done, though.
No. Will he be the coach of UNC next year?
No.
Okay, that's a better way to put it.
Because I don't know. I know they're putting out, I don't know if you guys saw it on Instagram, there was a graphic they put out with a Lombardi quote about something about, we're building and we figured out the right type of player that fits for UNC football and that's going to help us in the future. Yeah. Like, they're doing the long con. Like, this is step one of our multi-step process. Remember when Bill said, well, it always works out. Just look at New England and what I did. Like, it always works out in the end, and we lost the first year in New England.
Been around here for
all those things.
Years.
No, he does. How can you validate spending, what was the number, $50 million they estimated?
Yeah.
So
For four wins.
Four.
Or five, whatever. Is it five not, wins?
It's four.
Four
it
wins?
Might get to five. Yeah. You're not going to a bowl game. You went to a bowl game when you didn't spend the $50 million.
Dude.
You weren't the laughing stock. Hey. Mac Brown was like the grandpa everybody loved. We could go to his office. He wasn't the guy who was taking away codes to get into the building when they got hurt and putting a black eye on the program. What did you get out of this other than attention? You got attention. What did you get positive other than just attention?
No. There's nothing. But Bill will find a way to make arguments. You'll see reports, if he does part ways, of things that he was building, arguments he was making. He will somehow find a way to justify him not being validated and being parted away from UNC, if that
will
makes
he
sense.
Say there were limitations placed
yep,
on
yep,
him
yep,
or
absolutely.
That they didn't have a meeting of the minds or
he'll find so
difference of opinion
for a guy that he always preaches don't use excuses. He will find a thousand of them to justify why he should still be the coach at UNC.
Right. Well, then I think any football head would then logically ask, if there's any veracity to the Josina Anderson report, why any team at this point now? This is not the same guy that orchestrated the defensive masterpiece against the 11th greatest offense in history back at Super Bowl 53. Why would an NFL team hire him?
Why would an NFL team hire him now when an NFL team had 2 years to hire him before?
Yeah.
Or at least 1 year and never did. Teams passed over him already.
2 years ago. Yeah.
Two years ago. He sat out a year and did media.
Right. Now he's the coach for a year.
Thank you.
Two years.
So what am I missing? What they've seen in UNC, they go, you know what? God, we were wrong not to hire him 2 years ago. Let's hire him now.
And also two critical years. He's not 52 and you missed year 53 and 54. He's 72 and you missed 73 and 74. He's getting closer to unhireable based on his birth certificate as much as anything else.
Yeah.
And I also think Pete Carroll failing in Vegas is doing him no favors as the oldest coach in football history. Doesn't help him. Yes, Dan Ball.
The only justification I can think of is, Andy, kind of the same way that you approached should Josh McDaniels be getting consideration for a head coaching job, which is just a lack of perceived better options around you, or a need, a Buffalo-like need to win now and the perception that, oh, this guy can help us win quicker.
Okay.
It's not great, but that's all I can think of.
Not great.
I want to suggest something. I want to see if you guys think there's a link to this.
Okay.
And if this kind of gives it away, and it's the very first line, let's see if this rings any bells, okay? The Josina Anderson report from yesterday. It's four paragraphs, 137 words, and that's just the first one. She gives a rebuttal to people pushing back. Just the first line. Does this ring any bells? New, semicolon. I'm told, quote, at least two NFL teams are still expected to have interest in talking to Bill Belichick behind the scenes at the very least. Does that ring any bells?
Pelissero saying it would be in the dark of night.
In the dark, when no one's watching.
Right.
Isn't that interesting that Tom has a similar way of doing the Josina? Is there any maybe possibility that they were both talking to the same person?
Absolutely.
Okay. Great.
Absolutely. Also, I like the fact that if it's happening so much in sort of like behind the scenes, you can't prove it. Like if no one's on the record, it's all in the dark of an alley. Like you can't prove it did or didn't happen.
Right.
Dan Ball, though, I actually think there is a coach with some black marks on his resume that the lack of candidates could get a chance when people said he would never get it. Do you know who I'm talking about?
John Gruden.
Yeah, I would put John Gruden higher on. If I'm the Giants and my options are desperation, desperation here, do I want Bill Belichick with Jackson Dart or do I want John Gruden with Jackson Dart? To me, I can find a way to work my way through the emails and the race and the issues and my PR team, and I'd rather have John Gruden.
Do you want Bill Belichick with Jackson Hart?
No. No, God, no.
Let alone Jackson Dart.
No, I do not. I absolutely do not. No.
I mean, do you want him coaching your high school team right now?
I do not. Although he'll argue the best part of UNC is their defense, and I'm a defensive coach, and I can turn things around, and defense is winning again. You see Houston and Denver, defense matters in the NFL again. Yeah. You put me on your sideline, I'll give you one of those defenses.
Do you want to cite UNC's defensive performance this year?
No, certainly not their field goal defense, because that didn't work out for them last week when they gave up a fake field goal that led to their loss to Duke. All right, that's today in the world of Bill Belichick and UNC football. Coming up next here on WEEI Afternoons, back to real football, the pigskin. We're going to be watching tomorrow, and it is arguably the greatest, and Adam Schefter agreed, arguably the greatest slate of Thanksgiving Day games ever. You also have Friday football. You got Black Friday football, so you finish your shopping. You can come home and watch some football Friday. Some great football to be played the next couple days. We'll get into that next here on
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI. Crazy nights. Can I ask why we're playing the Hanukkah song on Thanksgiving?
When you do not want to know what just happened back here.
You know Adam Sandler has a turkey song.
Dan, if you want to break down what just happened.
I don't even know how to describe it. You were locked in on finding the Sandler Thanksgiving song?
Yes,
which is good. Yes. Appropriate.
And so I heard put on your yarmulke. It's time to celebrate. I thought you were just like clicking through videos to find something. And straight face, just click. Here we go. So that is, that's unbelievable.
Well,
happy Hanukkah, everybody.
It started playing, and then I looked over at Dan. I go, oh, I'm not supposed to be playing the Hanukkah song. I was looking for the Thanksgiving song.
It's okay. You have whatever they call it, senioritis, holiday-itis. You're looking forward to having
and people already have
off.
Their Christmas lights up like we were talking about.
So you're fine. You're
That's
covered.
A good point.
You're covered.
You were balancing things out for the Jewish listeners. It's, like, yeah, we're going to start Hanukkah music, too.
That'll hold up in court.
It's tough. How could you ever get mad at Stiz really for anything?
No, you couldn't, because he has that laugh when he knows he screws up. He does that, ha, ha, ha.
It's like,
we had it.
Please save me.
Please save you. Well, you know, that could have been the Adam Sandler Thanksgiving song, but no, we had a Hanukkah song leading into Thanksgiving Day, which we talked earlier to Adam Schefter from ESPN, and he did acknowledge that this is a great slate of games. He thinks the NFL just kind of got lucky.
Well, yeah.
I don't know.
They did.
Well, but you put teams, you knew Kansas City at Dallas. You know Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs have a 99% chance of being a big game.
But they're one's 5-5-1, and one is 6-5.
Yeah, no, I know. They're actually worse than I would have maybe predicted them to be.
And you know why this is? So I forget what game it was. It was a game in 2016 or 8 where it broke records. People think that this is going to break.
Yes.
This is going to be 50 million viewers. And it's because it's the two franchises, but they're both of these teams need to win this
Must
game.
Must win. Absolute
must-win
game.
That's why it makes it such a big game is there are marquee franchises that are in, like, that both need this win desperately.
Yes, it is.
So they're thinking it'll break records for a regular season game.
Correct. And it's in the 4:30 time slot, so people are done with dinner probably and kind of just sitting around the living room. So just a rundown. So the first game at 1 o'clock. Which I feel like this used to start earlier. Didn't this
used to start at 12, then they moved it to 12:30, and now ultimately it's 1 o'clock.
Kind of pushing it back.
Once.
You like
I don't
one?
Know, but I like morning sports. You know, I like earlier sports. Yeah.
Well, in your world where you say it's a great day because, you know, you just get to sit around and watch football and don't have any responsibilities.
Yeah.
I used to enjoy, because I think we were like a 2 o'clock dinner family. You'd sit back while everything's being
but
done in the kitchen.
The wife will have you working now. It's 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Hey, you can get up and do some
Absolutely.
Stuff
Absolutely. But Green Bay at Detroit at 1 o'clock on Fox. Then, as Ted mentioned, you have Kansas City. The Chiefs head to Dallas, take on the Cowboys at 4:30. That's a CBS game. And then the nightcap. Joe Burrow is back at Baltimore, 8:20. That's on NBC. That's obviously
he's gonna be fired up, boy.
Fired up. I mean, that's a division rivalry that's usually physical, crazy, feisty.
Jamar Chase is coming back.
Jamar Chase is back. Lamar Jackson is trying to get the Ravens. I mean, they are back. They're in the playoffs. They're atop that division again. And then I don't know if people know this. I don't know how widely known this is by everybody, that there is a 3 o'clock on Friday, Black Friday game.
The Amazon Black Friday special.
Yes, the Bears at the Eagles. So another high-end NFC game. These are, I think all four of these games could be Sunday Night Football. Any one of these games could be a Sunday Night Football game, and you have them between 1 o'clock on Thursday throughout that day and then into Friday. Which is the best game? Is it the Dallas-Kansas City because of the must-win nature?
Probably so, but I mean, I don't know. Who would have thought before the season that the Bears-Eagles would be a compelling game? There's to me, so many compelling games this week, and honestly, hard to predict. I mean, there's a lot of teams to me or games that are kind of like you could see it going either way in a lot of these games. But I love the 3 o'clock Friday. I do. I'm not gonna lie. It's just an odd time. It's different, and so why the hell not? But I think this week of games, it was the hardest slate of games for me for my league, where I have to pick a winner in every game to pick, because I just think there's so many evenly matched teams.
Yeah.
Playing each other.
Fitzy, though, I've always wondered, and this was sort of the root of my question to Schefter, because I always thought everybody's going to watch Thanksgiving football, right? Like, you're just sitting around with your family pre-dinner, dinner, post-dinner, playing games.
It's white
whatever.
Noise, and it prevents you from having to talk to each other in case there's any political discourse or familial discomfort.
So I always wondered if the league was like, you know, don't put too good a game on Thanksgiving, because we can use that in another time slot on a Sunday night or a Monday night. This year, that's not the case. This year, these are standalone, elite, great matchups that we would all tune in regardless of when these games were.
Ad revenue checks cash all the same as far as they're concerned. So, you know, I think they just absolutely lucked into it. Although, I'm sure
that's
they believe.
That's what you do.
Yeah, I'm sure they absolutely believe that Packers-Lions would be good. Because, wait, guys, think for how many, not just years, decades, we got served absolute crud fests with Lions versus whoever was going to come in and be favored by double-digit points and just stomp them out. Now, for the last half decade, the Lions have been watchable, fun, good, easy to root for. It's great. This is a perfect game tomorrow. It's a 2.5-point spread. It's basically a pick 'em. And now the Lions are going to get that emotional boost with Frank Ragnow coming back to them as well. Like, it's a big deal. He was one of the five best centers in football. If he can play starting the week after, it's huge.
Has that ever happened? Like, a dude just off the street? I mean, for that position, like, quarterbacks have been pulled off the street.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, and what shape is he?
Who was the quarterback for the Seahawks that came?
Your boy Crapsheets post said he was in game ready shape and it should not be very long.
Okay, so he's been planning for this or something.
What has he been doing? Playing football games in the dark with people?
I bet you Dan Campbell has been calling him. You ready to come back this week? How about this week?
Well, you've been lifting weights doesn't mean you're game ready.
Right.
How are you game ready if you haven't played in a game?
I find it hard to believe he's going to go out there next week and have like 60 snaps and just be fine.
Yeah, that's insane.
In fact, if I could bet on an injury for him, if they try to do that, if they just try to throw him out there, I would take the over on an injury for him.
Oh my
God, if you just try to throw 60 snaps in there. But it is interesting. It does give them a little life as a team that is sneaky fighting for their playoff life also.
Yeah,
in the
they're struggling right now, man.
There's no guarantee that three teams are going to make it from the NFC North, even though I would gladly take any team from the NFC North over whoever is the champion of the NFC South. And then when you look at the 4 o'clock game, the digestion game, it's borderline a playoff game for both teams. Like, Chiefs lose, they'll have 6 losses with 5 games to go. There's probably another L on the board for them. And the Cowboys are surging. I'm a believer in Dak Prescott basically kind of being in the MVP conversation with the way he's been playing lately. I give Dallas a significant chance, even though the Chiefs are a 3-point favorite. Like, I absolutely think Dallas can hang in this game.
Dude, the love that Jerry Jones is getting, it's amazing to me how he was such a buffoon for trading Micah Parsons to start the season. And now, he's a genius. Do you see how good their defense is playing? They win 2 games in a row. And it is amazing how people covered the Cowboys. It's the most irrational team to cover.
Yep.
The swings are so far in one direction. Like, what do you guys think of Brian Schottenheimer?
He's doing a surprisingly good job.
Fine. I'm not a huge fan.
I thought he was a boob to start the season. And, you know, you see his locker room kind of stuff, and you're like, Well, I don't know. The offense is playing pretty good. The defense is I just kind of thought he's kind of like Sirianni to me. Like, from the outside looking in, I'd go, how does anybody buy into this guy? But he kind of gets – as long as the players are buying in. Like, so there's something to Brian's style that I just didn't like from where I'm sitting. But it seems like the players are kind of, buying into it.
He's also navigated the straits of having to deal with a player and a teammate among many that passed away in season. So they've handled that pretty well. I mean, guys are getting open if you want to just say, like, play design looks pretty good as far as from where I'm sitting. You know, if you want to say that's all Pickens and CeeDee Lamb, I get you. But
is Schottenheimer the OC?
Yeah, he's the play caller, the OC. And if we're going to give Vrabel his flowers – remember when we talked about he benched Christian Barmore and then they hugged it out and they were all happy? Well, Schottenheimer did the exact same thing. He benched Pickens and CeeDee Lamb for their night out in Vegas. Yeah. And midway through the second quarter, they scored. And he's hugging them and they're dapping up and they're like cool as can be on the side. We got to give him credit. I don't know if it's sustainable, but he's making it work. Also a visor guy, so I got to support him.
That's a pivotal. Yeah, you get visor guys. You're all the same.
Don't trust them, Ted.
Right? Serious. But you can point to that Las Vegas game in that decision where it could have gone either way.
Yep. Could have ended it. Could have probably ended his career.
Also, in any game, I want to point out, like, when they play these indoor games, guys, and they have Brandon Aubrey, a 70-yard field goal is not off the table.
Absolutely. No. They're a talented team. In all three phases, they can beat you on offense, they can beat you on defense, and they can beat you in the kicking game. They're a pretty good football team. And just to put a bow on this, the Kansas City thing, I don't think this is just a must-win game in terms of make the playoffs this season. We're talking about, is their dynasty kind of petering out, right? You go to the Super Bowl and you get smoked. Now are you going to not only not go to the AFC title game, maybe not win the division, maybe not make the playoffs? Like, where is that going in Kansas City in terms of who they are? Longer term, is the dynasty kind of on fumes here in Kansas City? So but the flip side is maybe beat Dallas, get back into the hunt, get in the playoffs, win on the road, and it could go the other way. So anyway, it's a great 2 days of football we have. Later in the show, 5:30, we will do our pick six parlay because obviously, oh boy, some of the best games. Two wins last week.
10-2.
I went 2-0 and bought my picks. But we're going to do our pick six parlay heading into this great slate of games this weekend. Up next, though, I did want to pay a little homage to high school football. Thanksgiving is a special day in Massachusetts, some in Rhode Island. Not everywhere do they play Thanksgiving morning football, and even to the point where it's become an issue with Super Bowls and playoffs here in Massachusetts. But it is a special day. We'll talk a little bit about that, and I want to talk to Ted what he thinks about Thanksgiving Day football and everything that goes into the tradition around here. We'll talk about that next here on WEEI.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Boo! That was Marcus Jones on Patriots Monday talking to us about his high school football memories, Friday Night Lights. Well, there's also, at least in Massachusetts and New England, Thanksgiving morning football memories. It's a massive deal around here. I know for years the Herald ran the column that was written by Jerry Callahan about what high school football, what Thanksgiving morning football means around here.
How about Butch Stearns going out and doing reports for Fox 25,
yep.
talking to the football, like covering high school football,
oh, yeah.
and what a big deal it is.
The recap shows that they've always run on Channel 5,
great.
Where you just wait to, you know, the kids are around looking to see their score, their highlights scroll across the screen. Wellesley Needham first played yeah. on Thanksgiving Day in 1882. Put that at eight, like, how much has the world changed since 1880? Like, cars yeah. didn't exist. Cars didn't exist, and they were playing this same football game that they'll play tomorrow
That's
morning.
That's amazing.
I went to that game a couple years ago. It was fun.
Oh, I thought you meant that.
No, not in another life, yes.
I thought that was an old joke, too, for sure.
I thought it was like something like, yeah. But you did.
Sorry,
you did.
I was so excited to tell you I went to the game. I
yeah.
probably should have paused there. But I went to the game. We would Needham High kids would come help us out every week for on the breakdown show and during the Ted Neek
portion. Oh, yeah,
portion.
I remember that.
They would help us, and so I told them I'd go see them play on Thanksgiving. It was fun.
It's awesome.
It was really a great venue, and I did not realize that someone there at the game had to tell me how old that game was.
It's crazy, yeah. and some of the crowds that these games get are amazing. Like, you're talking
huge.
Tens of thousands of people,
huge.
Which for Texas or whatever maybe isn't a big deal, but for Massachusetts football and so many communities that kick off their Thanksgiving at 10 a.m. watching a football game before dinner, you get a lot of the recent graduates in their letter jacket coming back to watch
yeah.
the next crop of kids that are playing.
What
in
position
that
did you play in high school?
Running back, linebacker.
Running back, linebacker.
Yep.
Fitz, did you play football in high school?
Ted, I was not able to play freshman football because they couldn't find a helmet big enough to fit my head.
All right, very good. What about Stiz?
Left bench, Ted.
Okay, all right. And Dan's not in the. Okay, so
it's crazy.
Do you just remember like your friendships were so intense? Everything in that time of your life felt like so important. I have the best memories of my high school years,
and everybody yeah. does. I've heard Chris Collinsworth, Dan Orlovsky, different guys talk about it's awesome that you go on to play in college or in the NFL,
yeah.
but high school is different. It's
yeah,
your boys. You grew
is.
Up with them.
Yeah.
The people you're playing might be the town next door, and you might hate them like you don't hate anybody. Your guy's
yeah.
spitting on you and
yeah,
you're like having
yeah,
that issue.
Yeah, yeah.
And for a lot of these kids, the thing that is such like, you know, Bill used to say like the end of your seasons was the treadmill just stopped. Like you're chugging along, and then all of a sudden you lose in the playoffs, losing the Super Bowl, the treadmill. That's how it is for the life of these kids, right? 90% of these kids that play tomorrow morning
sure.
will never put a helmet on again.
Yeah.
There's no pickup beer league. They're not going to play in college. They play for their town, and when the game ends tomorrow, they ask you as the boys of fall and some of these, like, turn in your equipment. Like, you're never, ever going to put a helmet on again.
What do you guys think? Well, if you didn't play, it's not fair. But so I don't feel like I'm just talking to anybody, but there's – I think football teaches you more than any other, teaches you about life, working together. It's the
yep.
most, you know, can you work with guys that you might not like, that might not be the perfect fit? Can you get along and for the sake of the team?
Yep.
There's not a sport that highlights those things more than football.
It's the greatest sport there is because whether out of choice, out of necessity, there has to be a spot for everyone. You know, your roster is only so deep on a high school team. There's no free agency. There's no draft. So the little fat kid who's not that athletic,
yeah.
we got to find a spot for him,
yeah.
whether it's on special teams. He needs to fill a role for us. And guess what? The athlete needs to count on him. The Ted Johnson, who might be bigger, faster, stronger, and going to college in the NFL, also needs to count on that kid to do his jobs. Otherwise, I'll go to the NFL, but we're not winning games on Friday nights in high school.
That's right. That's right.
It's so cool. And that's the beauty of it. But it's also,
yeah.
there was a post that actually went viral last week about this topic of when high school football ends for that kid that knows he's never going to play again. And knowing, like, no one else feels that. Because if you're good at baseball, you can play, you know, beer league baseball until you're 40, over 40. Basketball, you can go to the Y and play a pickup
yeah.
game.
You
all
can't
these
play
other
pickup football games. That's
no,
right.
It doesn't exist.
If I had a nickel for every time somebody referenced their high school football years to me,
right.
it's so many people that played high school football just look back at it fondly.
And then these Thanksgiving Day games for a lot of communities, they're sort of like Ohio State, Michigan. They kind of trump the rest of the season. Oh, did you? Were you 0-8? Mm-hmm. Oh, but you won on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a hell of a year you had. Oh, you were 10-0, but you lost on Thanksgiving. wow, that's a terrible year. What happened? What, you know, what went wrong on that day? Like, they're more important than the bulk of the rest of the games.
And it's rivalry. Like, yeah, it's also, yeah, like, cross-town rivalries. Like, in a town like where I live, there's two high schools. They always play. One kicks the crap out of the other one. But that one year, maybe that the inferior high school finally gets back at them. It's the biggest day of their lives. And, you know, Braintree growing up, Milton always gave us the business. Yeah. But then Terp started coaching at Braintree, and Braintree got back at him. Like, it's tradition. These are the things you, it's days you circle on the calendar months in advance.
Well, we got a text that says the 603. You guys are bringing tears to my eyes talking about the end of football.
See, it does. It strikes the chord. You know, and you just said the word that Adam Schefter did about when I asked them the question, why are the Lions and the Cowboys always playing? He goes, tradition. Like,
yeah. Opening what, song of Fiddler on the Roof.
That's why the kind of conference realignment mess people up, because there's so many great traditional games,
yep,
that aren't anymore.
It's awful.
That throws people, like, that's what makes football special too, is the tradition that's built into the either the team's plan or the town's plan, and that's what's part of the beauty of it.
Now, I will say, in this day and age, Fitzy, the rivalries are awesome. Sometimes they go a little far because the build-up to these starts on, you know, TikTok or Snapchat, and by the time you get to the game, everybody's frothing. They've talked about your girlfriend. They talked about your mama. Like, the back and forth,
yeah,
that develops on social media can go a little far, but it's also what makes it great. Like, it just puts the emotion in the game.
What did you guys do anything to the other school that you were playing, like, the night before? Would you go
stole
would
people, a mascot, stuff like that? Paper, yeah.
Did
you,
well, we did the year we played. We had a bonfire and we burned their. They hung it into the bonfire and burned the Blue Devil.
Yeah,
because we play the Fairhaven Blue Devils.
You burned their mascot in effigy.
Yeah, not a real one, just like a lookalike.
Yeah,
thing.
I didn't think
not like the actual guy
person
or anything. No, but yeah, there's those. There, yeah, that's other things. Like,
pretty sure you didn't commit murder.
I was just making sure we were clear here.
Yeah.
But
you,
yeah, there's
here,
the,
you know what we did?
The what?
Junior Sal's old high school.
Yeah.
Oceanside High.
Yeah.
May or may not have gone over there the night before, took a leak on the field.
I was gonna say maybe an upper decker, Ted.
Yeah, it's just we decided we're all just gonna take a leak on their field.
And you're marking your territory. That's very canine.
I like that. That's what we thought.
I love it.
Yeah.
And the beauty of it is, what year was it?
It was probably 1989.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Because in 1989 you did it, and then you told people about it. In 2025, you do it on a cell phone camera, and then the cops see it, yeah, and you're getting arrested for vandalism, public urine, like all these, yeah, like. Those were better when they were just done in the darkness of night and, yeah, you told your buddies right afterwards.
They were like urban legends.
Yes. Yeah. And then, yeah, you, right, told, yeah, your buddies on the radio 25, 50 years later about it, but no one gets in trouble. Mm-hmm. So I would just say, everybody enjoy it. If you're a parent, enjoy it. If you're a kid, enjoy it, because it is, it's different. Thanksgiving morning is different. I don't care if you lost or what, like, fight it out, have fun, and cherish it, because it'll never be the same. And that's our trip down a teary-eyed memory lane.
It was fun.
With Ted Johnson urinating on a football field out
Oceanside
in
High,
California somewhere.
Yeah, but they got us good the next day. So they had the last laugh.
That's, yeah, that's what really counted.
They lifted their leg a little higher when they were doing theirs. It was a little more public.
On our field, watch this.
Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, it is time for The Drive, where we get into the Patriots. Ted Johnson, could the Patriots, don't answer, you'll have your chance, could the Patriots actually lose three games in a row? Is that possibly on the horizon? And we'll have the latest on Craig Breslow and me coming to a realization that Sonny Gray may not be your fourth starter. He may be your number two starter, and that means he'd pitch in the postseason if they even make the postseason with Sonny Gray as their number two. That's all next in The Drive here on WEEI.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
this wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.